All things rugby. Warren, thank you so much for joining me on Sports Talk. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Buckley. It's an absolute pleasure being on a Sunday night. You do a great job, so it's an honor to be on your show.
Oh, thank you so much, Warren. It's an absolute pleasure having you on. And we're going to talk about a multitude of things, Warren, but I'm going to start with the Tswane 10s. I know that you've been heavily involved in the Tswane 10s, especially last season. Can you tell me about your experience with the competition?
Yeah, it's absolute great time that we have as each rugby players getting there and supporting it. The team that we represent is known as the Oakland VIP International Team, and we've got Bucky Buerta, who's the head coach for the team. So you can imagine the team talks with Bucky's. And we've got a couple of different guys playing in that team from. A couple of guys that have done MMA. You've got the soldier boy who's playing. We've got a singer who's playing Arno Yordan.
Yeah.
And then you've got a couple of rugby players like Mac Messina, Jonathan McQuena, Gary Buerta, Nico Luce, Joe Peterson, who played for the Stormers and the Sharks. And there's just a great vibe and great atmosphere there. It's traditionally been played at the Harlequin Sports Grounds in Pretoria, but this year it's going to be held at Loftus Versfeld, the rugby stadium.
Yeah.
And it should be great fun.
I mean, it essentially brings rugby to the people. And what you mentioned, all these players and the fact that it's singers, it's rugby players, it's coached by the great enforcer, Bucky's Buerta. And as you can say, I can just imagine what it's like to get a riling from Bucky's Buerta at halftime.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the bad story from last year. I mean, my wife was working at the event, and I went down there dressed as if I was going to go watch rugby on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Arrived there, and the Oakland VIP Invitational Team had won it, had got through to the finals. Bucky's walks up to me, he says, "Broz, you're going to play in the final with me." And Bucky's is not the kind of guy you're going to say no to. So before I knew it, there was a pair of rugby boots had been organized, and yeah. I borrowed someone's shorts and, you know, on the field playing. And it's I think what the big thing here, Buckley, is the unity, bringing people from different walks of life, different different skill levels, different sports there as well, and just bringing everyone together. And the common denominating factor is just sport and the love to be together, be out on a Sunday afternoon. And I think it's a unifying theme that that carries through.
Absolutely, Broz. And it starts on the 27th of September, I believe, this year's tournament.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a Friday night and then goes through onto the Saturday and finishes off on the Saturday late afternoon, evening.
And how was getting back on that field after, I'm sure it was quite some time, how was the gearbox?
Yeah, that was great fun. I mean, I absolutely loved it. And just to feel the ball again and to run with it and to, you know, make one or two tackles. But it was more about, you know, the warm-up beforehand, the build-up, the nervous expectation, getting onto the field, having a beer with your mates afterwards again. And it's something when you give up the sport that you really miss. And it's the camaraderie and the team spirit that team sport fosters. And it's a special thing that rugby really, I believe, brings. And, you know, it's just sitting afterwards and having a beer with one or two of your mates and enjoying the game out there together.
Broz, last night was a special night in the Free State for the Cheetahs, 31-28, beating the Lions in the Currie Cup final. What do you make of that match?
Well, I think it was a fantastic game of rugby, and I think anyone that watched it, it was a great advert for the Currie Cup. Went right down to the wire. The Cheetahs, you know, they've been traditionally throughout this Currie Cup, they've been the team that's come back from behind.
Yeah.
Back from behind and finished strongly. And this time it was the roles were reversed. We had the Lions pressing, and I think if the game went 85 minutes or anything of it over time, the Lions would have been very, very dangerous. But it was a superb game of rugby. The Cheetahs, I think, have been the best game, the best team in the competition. And I think if we talk about the Currie Cup as a whole, you know, it's taken a lot of criticism over the last couple of years. I think we've had a superb Currie Cup this year. I think it's been very competitive. You look at right from the very first week of the Currie Cup when the Griquas beat the Sharks down in Durban.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of new players coming through, putting their hands up, young players being developed. I think of Sonele Nahamba and Pepsi Buthelezi from from a Sharks that we've never heard of before, and now suddenly they're playing Currie Cup rugby. We look at the quality of the games; they've been exciting, edge of the seat kind of stuff. And I think it's been a great advert. I know it's been a watered down competition as far as it's been quick and sharp, but that's probably been what the spectators wanted, because we've had a lot of these tournaments that have been drawn out and protracted. So I think it's actually really worked a treat, and I thought it was a superb Currie Cup season.
Do you think it might be something that the organisers could be looking at for next season, or at least going forward? Yes, it was watered down because of the Rugby World Cup, but as you say, Braz, it worked.
Yeah, 100%, Buclair, and I think they're definitely going to have a look at it. It was a success. I mean, you look at the crowd that was in there for that final. The crowd we had last week for the semi-final was just under 20,000. So I think they've got to look at it.
Absolutely, and it's very good to see all the sides actually putting their hands up. I mean, you see, saw the Greek was there in the mix pretty much up until the end, Braz. But a very good advertisement for South African rugby, and it's even, you know, it kind of makes you feel good that this is happening in a World Cup year. The Springboks seem to be hitting their straps, and it seems like finally we're getting, you know, something right in the country, all the way down at least to the Currie Cup.
Gee, Buckley, you're giving me goosebumps here, because you know, sport. I mean, we've heard what Nelson Mandela said about sport. We know what rugby can do, and whether it's soccer, I don't mind what sport we're playing. Sport is just a unifying factor, and our country right now, we've seen what happened last week, and we've seen all the stuff, the evil stuff that's taken place, and we need good news stories. We need hope. We need positivity. And I believe sport can provide that, and that's what rugby's really doing. We're coming into a Rugby World Cup now. We're 12 days away from it. I think rugby's got itself in order. We've got people of different cultures, religions, races, whatever, all coming together and working together. And I think it really provides a little bit of hope. And you know, South Africa as a country, I believe, and I'm only going to digest here, but South Africa as a country is a miracle.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a miracle in work at the moment. And we've got our problems, and we've got plenty of them. But I think from a sporting point of view, the rugby is really leading the way this year. I won't say in previous years because they've gone off track, but we've got a really good bunch of guys going through to that World Cup. We look at what's happened in the Currie Cup through all the teams. I think there's been incredible talent that's come through. So if nothing else, there's hope. And when you've got hope, you know there's a better future.
You speak about rugby being a unifier, Braz. And I mean, it's a sore topic. We never wanted to touch on this whole quota system. But all of a sudden this year, we are sitting in Japan at a Rugby World Cup with a team that is transformed, and nobody's talking quota. And we are all behind the box, and they look like a winning team.
It doesn't matter, Booker, it doesn't matter where you come from. Everyone's agreeing with you, what you're saying now. And that in itself is more powerful than getting the people there, trying to get the right numbers and trying to get the right splits. This Springbok side has been picked purely on merit. There's not one player in that squad that does not deserve to be in that squad. There's not one player in that squad that's been picked because of whatever you want to call it, skin color or whatever. They're there because they need to be there. They're there because they can do the job for South Africa. They're there because I believe that Rassie's picked a squad that can go and fetch that World Cup and bring it back to South Africa. Yes, it's a World Cup where there are probably 6-7 teams that can go and win it. So there's no out-and-out favourites. So, people might say New Zealand, Ireland's now number one. Let me tell you, there's about 6-7 teams that can go and win it. It is going to be the most exciting World Cup we've ever had. And South Africa is in with a very good chance of being one of those teams that can go and win that World Cup.
Absolutely. And we get our World Cup off. I mean, it's the most talked about match at the World Cup, probably even more than the opener. And for me, it's the unofficial opener, South Africa, New Zealand. Do you think, Braz, we might try to bottle this match on purpose? I know we don't do such things, but to maybe get an easier run through the knockout stages?
There's a whole lot of things. We've got to pull your question apart there. But to get an easier run, okay, I did a talk last week, and I looked at the draw for this World Cup that we've got coming forward. If we come number one in our group, you're probably going to get Ireland in the quarterfinals. Okay, now Ireland are rated number one. Whether that's right or wrong in the world at the moment, that's another separate debate.
Yes.
If you come number two, you're probably going to catch Scotland in the quarterfinals. The problem is, though, if you come number one and you beat Ireland, I think your next opponent's going to be England in the semi-final. Mm. So I believe South Africa's. I don't think that result is that important. I'll be honest with you. So for me, it's more about a momentum. Yes, it's very important for momentum. You never want to go and lose a game. You want to go there and win every single game you can. But we've had World Cups before, and we talk about 2007, which was 12 years ago. South Africa and England were in the same pool. They both ended up meeting again in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
So for me, the second time we meet New Zealand, assuming we meet New Zealand in the World Cup, we want to make sure that game we do not lose. The first game is incredibly important. We want to go and win it, yes. But if we don't win it, I don't think it's the end of the world.
You mentioned England, Braz, and you know they essentially, for me, a bit of a dark horse. They're a team that have been very good under Eddie Jones for the most part. Yes, they had a few shockers, but are England going to play well away from home? Is my question, and in such humidity.
Yeah, that were you. It's a very intelligent question, because I try to do a little SWOT analysis on all the teams, the top five teams, and you know England have got a lot of strengths. When I go through there, they've got continuity. They've got a very good loose forward trio. They've got some very good locks with Mauro Itoje. They've got a strong front row. You've got Farrell at fly half. You've got Manatu Lagi, and that's coming in at inside centre. They've got a finisher on the wing. So there's a lot of strengths we can talk about. But there's the weaknesses and the threats that I possibly see, and you've listed it. Will they be able to cope with the travelling away from home, playing away? Because they're good when they're playing at home in the United Kingdom. Will they be able to cope with the humidity that we saw South Africa and Japan try and work through on Friday? Will they be able to deal with those conditions? Because they're going to be vastly different. Yes, I know they've gone into it. They went into a training camp in Italy. They're very, very well prepared. They've got John Mitchell. They've got Eddie Jones, probably two of the greatest brains in the rugby world.
Yeah.
But there's others as well in other teams. So I believe they are a dark horse. I believe they're a big threat. I think that they'll make it through to the semi-final of the World Cup. And then anyone can win those games. So they definitely are going to be a threat. But there are areas where we can say, okay, well, this could be a problem. Sometimes team harmony hasn't been good on their side. We saw that in the World Cup in 2015 where they basically split and they never couldn't make it through the pool stages, but they are a threat.
Braz, what a fantastic conversation this was. Such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much on the Sunday evening. I hope you have a great evening further. It's going to be a long World Cup, so we will be talking again.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Cheers up.
That is Warren Brosnian, former Springbok flank and an absolute legend, also a SuperSport analyst. And as you can hear, the man knows what he's talking about.